If you've ever felt lost, today's episode is for you. We're going to be talking about how to remember our story so that we can cure our wandering heart and refocus our lives on God. I hope you'll join me. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. And this is Casey Fletcher, and today we're going to be talking about remembering our story. Now, we have been in the podcast for the past few weeks, we have been talking about winter seasons of life. And as we can kind of feel right now, where spring is happening and everything is kind of coming back into focus, we might be getting our energy back, we might be spending more time outside, maybe we are focused on new projects and thinking about, you know, putting the garden in the ground, maybe planning out our summer vacations. We just get so much more energy and focus, and we're kind of rejuvenated, I feel like, with the seasons. And so as we've been thinking about winter seasons, we've talked a lot about how we have to weather these seasons well, how we need to be able to recognize when these seasons might happen. And so one of the things that I wanted to focus on today is thinking about how we have to refocus and realign our heart on God in order to weather these seasons well. One of the things that we talked about a couple episodes ago, whenever we were talking about the basics of the winter seasons, is that one of the things that we need to do is we need to cling to truth. So as we look at overcoming these dark days of winter, we need to hold on to the truth and kind of cling to that, just like the trees, you know, dig their roots down deep and cling to all those nutrients that they can find and that they can have stored up over the summer months. And so we want to store up truth and then cling to that in the winter times in order to weather these seasons well and come out on the other end with a stronger faith, with a faith that's not destroyed by the winter seasons, but instead is held fast and can actually become a blessing to both ourselves and other people because of the trust that we built up during this time. So as we've been thinking about these winter seasons, I want us to focus on how we actually cling to truth. Now, I'm not going to talk necessarily about what truth we need to cling to today. That's a totally different podcast, and that is more about your doctrine of beliefs and those kinds of things, which you definitely need to understand. So if you don't know what you doctrinally believe, then you know that is the first step, is try to figure out what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, how you believe that you are saved. All of those things are important and that you need to know. But then after you understand just the basics of what you believe, then you have to understand, okay, how do I cling to this truth? It's not necessarily that your definition or your understanding of truth is changing over time. Instead, you have to say, okay, what do I need to do about this truth? How do I cling to that? How does that change my life? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, a couple things. This is actually what I'm going to talk about today is a blog post that I wrote about a month ago, back in January. And what I've been focusing on this week is something that's exciting that hopefully you will check out on the blog whenever I post it. But I just want you guys to kind of keep this in mind. I'm working on a new type of resource that you can use as part of your morning Bible study or devotional time, or if you do your devotional time in the evening, you could use it then too. But something that you could use as a standalone kind of devotional, but also something that you could use that would complement whatever devotional you're using right now, that would focus on some of the habits that we've been talking about over the past several months on the podcast. Things like scripture, memorization, prayer, Bible study, and other things as well, reading and all of that kind of stuff. So just keep a lookout for that. That is something that I've been working on over the past couple weeks or so. And so that will be something that we'll talk about a little bit more on the podcast in the next couple weeks. But you can find out any other resources that you want, in addition to a resource that pairs really well today with the podcast, at A More Beautiful Life Collective shop. That is at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. And one of the things that you could find on the shop that talks about the things that we're going to look at today, is how you can write out your story, write out your testimony or your legacy to help you remember God's faithfulness in your life, but also to be able to explain that to other people. And so there's a workbook online that you can find that will help you to write out the story of your life. And so I really hope that you check that out at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. So let's think about this idea. And what got me really thinking about this is a line from the hymn, Come Thou Fount, that says this. The first verse goes like, Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. So that is Come Thou Fount of every blessing. And you hear in that first verse, this idea of, you know, every blessing comes from God, that you have these mercies that are never ceasing. So it's this, you can imagine a fountain. We were at a wedding this past week, and in the middle of this really big pond, it was like 5 acres, there was a fountain that was going off, and it, you know, it's continuous, right? And so you can just imagine that picture of a fountain continuously going, where you have these blessings, these mercies that never cease, that it's like it comes from a well that will never be dry. And in the last verse of that song, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And as we think about this, we have this God that gives us so many mercies, that his mercies are never ceasing. It is a well that never runs dry, but yet we are still prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. That hymn was written by a man named Richard Robinson in 1758. And he was actually a man that in his early life, his mother had sent him to London because she wanted him to be an apprentice. So she sent him off to the big city to do that there. And it was during that time that he, according to his biographer, associated with a notorious gang of hoodlums and lived a debauched life until he came under the spell of George Whitfield. And so what's interesting here is that, you know, this person, he looks back at his life and he sees that kind of living, that reckless living, was not a good thing. And so he sees that those mercies are never ceasing and that he had had so much forgiveness. And so he had to fix his eyes on God in order to overcome this time. But he still sees this tendency in himself that he recognized, it was almost like the prodigal son, where he recognized that he was living this debauched lifestyle, you know, partying, all that kind of stuff. And then he comes back to God and he sees the great mercies in God that allowed him to come back to God. But then he still recognizes in himself this idea of being prone to wander. And I think we all see that in ourselves too. We get to the point at some point in our lives where we say, I'm committed. I'm choosing God and I'm committed to him. And no matter what happens, I want to be focused on him. And so we recognize that from the time that we are committed to God, we have received these great mercies and we know that we've been forgiven so much. But then we also recognize this tendency in ourselves to be prone to wander, that if we put our gaze off of God, that we will turn our focus, we'll turn the focus of our lives, and we will go down a path that we don't want to go. We'll wander down that path. And I think as we looked at our winter seasons, especially in the episode last week where we talked about these ideas of sin and doubt and busyness, these idols basically, we know that we are prone to wander and follow those things, those counterfeit gods, like Tim Keller says. As we look at our year and at our goals, I think we always have to recognize this about ourselves. One of the things that we talked about way back in our theme of the year episode is how we want our goals and our themes and all these kinds of things to have sticking power. So again, your theme of the year, if you made one back in January, try to think of it now. Can you remember it? Have you memorized it? For me, that's something that, you know, we try to do these big resolutions and stuff, but if you haven't tried to add to the sticking power of your goals, you're going to have forgotten them. And again, depending on what you did. So I memorized mine so I can say, you know, I want to spontaneously do my habits so that I can be spontaneous and joyful and have a fun life. I remember that because I tried to add some of the sticking power to my goals. I wrote about it. I talked about it in this podcast. I told my friends about it. And so because of that, I have the sticking power that now I can remember it. But if you, you know, kind of listen to the podcast and was like, yeah, that's interesting. And you may have thought about something, but then you didn't do anything else with it. You won't have that sticking power. So right now, you know, as it goes into March and we're thinking about this, you probably don't even remember what you wrote down. And I think we have to kind of keep this idea in mind whenever it comes to us clinging to the truth of God. If we don't have sticking power with our beliefs, our testimonies, kind of our statement of faith, we are going to forget these things in the hard times, in the winter seasons. And that's what it means to cling to truth, is that we have added sticking power to the story of God acting and working in us, so that whenever the storms of life come, we will trust in God and we'll remember the faithfulness of God. Remember that God is who He says He is, and we are who He says we are in Him, but also that we are sticking to the fact that we are going to do what we've been commanded to do, no matter what the circumstances of life are. We are a people that so easily forget. We forget the commands of God. We forget the story of God's faithfulness in our life. And so we have to figure out how to work against that thing, because otherwise we will wander away. We're always prone to wander. But what we want to do is overcome those things and make sure that we hold fast to God. I've always wondered why, though. Okay, so why do we forget so easily? And this is a question that, you know, I'm not going to be able to figure out today. And this is something that you could think about and just kind of figure out what you believe about this. I always wondered, you know, is memory something, and our ability to forget, is this something that is in place because of the world that we live in with sin? Do we forget things just because we're a broken people? Or is it something that God had instituted in the beginning? You know, in the kingdom of heaven, are we going to forget things or not? I don't know. And so that is going to be something that maybe you could tell me, you could comment on this video. But I always did wonder, you know, why did God give us, you know, this memory and then make us a people that so easily forgets? One of the researchers who researches memory in the Science Daily, his name is Dr. Ryan, and he wrote about memory and how memories work in our lives. One of the things he said was that memories are stored in ensembles of neurons called engram cells. And successful recall of these memories involve like a reactivation of these ensembles. So basically, imagine your brain, you have these cells in your brain, and then every time that a memory is reactivated, those cells are activated and you remember that thing again. So the memories are still there, but if they can't be activated, then they're not recalled. So basically, like, you don't lose those cells in your brain where your memories are stored. It's just that if they aren't activated, you can't remember the thing in your actual like consciousness. And so they're stored in a safe and you can't unlock it. The new theory proposes that forgetting is due to like a circuit remodeling that switches the engram cells from an accessible to an inaccessible state. And so it's the rate of forgetting is impacted by environmental conditions. So they propose that forgetting is actually a form of learning that alters memory accessibility in line with the environment and how predictable it is. So basically what that is saying is, just like it says, okay, it's like a safe and you can't access it. And so that is when you forget. The memories and the cells and stuff are all in your brain still, but you just can't get into that brain safe and unlock those memories and activate those memories. What it's saying is that learning is basically the process of forgetting, which I think is so interesting. Again, I'm going to say that again. Basically, learning is the process of forgetting. So through learning, what you're doing is you're figuring out what's important and what's not important, and you are putting away the stuff that's not important in that safe to not clog up your memory. And then the things that is important is the things that's accessible to you. And so through that, you are learning what's good and what's not good. It's like you're going through this kind of like sifting process. Basically, forgetting is a symptom of like the adaptability that we have in life. That whenever we forget things, what we're really doing is we're trying to figure out how to navigate the new situation that we're in. And you guys can think about this too. You know, if you've ever moved, I was counting out the times. I don't know why I moved this much in college, but I just did. But in college, I moved, I think, 7 times. You know, I had always lived, we lived in like one house and then they built a new house. But basically, I have lived in the same area my whole life, right? Where, you know, I went to the same school, grew up with people, went to the same church. And I still go to that church because I moved back home. But in college, I moved to another city. And then I moved, I think, if I counted up, I moved my freshman year, I moved my sophomore year, I moved twice in my junior year because I studied abroad. Then I moved again for my senior year. And then I got my master's and I moved to my last place. And then whenever I moved back home, we renovated a house, which I've talked about that before. And then finally we moved 2 years afterwards, and that's the house that we're in now. So, you know, I went from basically living in the same house for years and years and years to in the space of like 5 years moving, you know, 6 times. And then if you count the last couple of moves, you know, I moved seven times in 10 years. And yeah, you're living in the same city, so you're not necessarily needing to make more friends and stuff like that. But you still have to go through and organize your house, try to get everything perfect. If you're not dead set on staying in a specific place too, you kind of just make do with things. And you know how that is in college, where if you're in a dorm room and stuff, you're not doing any kind of projects like fix it up other than like maybe putting up a poster. And so I think if you look at that situation, other than that, you know, that was a lot of moving and a lot of moving around, you know, your pots and pans and stuff. But you also are really adaptable, right? Because you can go through these moves, and in that situation where you're there, you remember where you have to park, you remember your key code, you remember what your key looks like, you remember all the places where you put all of your stuff. But if I asked you, okay, in your college dorm or in your, you know, childhood home, where did you keep the tape? Where did you keep the toilet paper? You wouldn't be able to tell me. And part of that is just because it's not essential information. So what you've done is because you're so adaptable, you've forgotten the things that you don't need to know, and you only keep the stuff that you do need to know. And so if we think about this again with this idea of sticking power, basically what you've done is you're sifting through everything and figuring out the things that need to stick. Now, whenever you live in a house, yeah, you want to remember where you keep your tape and your toilet paper and all of the things like that. I, you know, follow a group that they do cash envelopes. And one of the things that, you know, these people, they have thousands of dollars saved up for vacations and all this kind of stuff. And then they'll post on Facebook. It's like, I feel so bad. I can't remember where I put these things. And so they've lost like $1,000 or $2,000 because they misplaced the cash envelope that they have been saving up money in. And to me, it's like, okay, that would be a thing that you need to remember. Even if you leave the house, you need to remember where you keep your money. But some things you don't need to remember. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think forgetting, sometimes we give it a bad rap. Again, if you said before, I think forgetting is something that is caused by the fall and by sin, we think of forgetting as like this great evil. But in this situation, forgetting is actually the thing that allows learning to happen. But the issue is that we need to make sure that we're remembering the right things. And so I think in this idea of being prone to wander, sometimes we remember the wrong things and forget the right things because we haven't assigned what needs to have the actual sticking power in our lives. So forgetting, I mean, it can ease the pain of goodbyes. It can help you again sort through information that you need to have, and it reinforces new learning. You know, now that I've stayed home and I'm not teaching, the types of skills and the things I need to remember are completely different than what I needed last year. Even for teachers, and all these teachers, you know what I'm talking about. The kids from last year, yes, you could remember their names if they walked by, but if you had to go through and say, okay, these are the 100 kids that I taught last year, you couldn't remember. But the thing is, by about week 2 of the new school year, you remember every single kid's name. And if you haven't, you know you're going to have issues. And so that's something that, you know, you can remember faces and things, but you remember the information that you need to know. And that's just part of being adaptable. So I think forgetting is something that we don't need to hold as such a great evil in our lives, but we want to remember the right things, which just means that we need to be intentional about what we're remembering, which is why we're talking about this today. We need to remember the story of God's faithfulness in our lives. I think now we don't hold the importance of memory in the right place. I think, and this is something, if you read The Shallows by Nicholas Carr, I talked about that book back in our episode on the benefits of reading and an antidote to shallow thinking. One of the things that he talked about is this idea. He talked about this, and then in Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, also talked about this, but it's this idea of images, and that images now are king, right? We all, right now, I'm talking to you through an image. You probably didn't read this blog post, or if you did, you spend 30 seconds reading it, but you'll listen to something or watch somebody and get your information that way. Just people prefer images, reels, and they prefer now video even over, you know, static images. But the thing is, because images are king, we think we can remember everything. And we think we can remember people's faces. We can remember, you know, any kind of, like, you'll take a picture of information that you want to remember. Some of the kids that I used to teach, they would, instead of writing down their notes, they would just take a picture of the notes. And so we think by having an image of something that we can remember it. But what's interesting is a lot of us actually, we don't prize memory that much because we think we have access to whatever we need to remember through images and through the internet. And so we actually don't know a lot of stuff in our minds. We think that we can access it at any time. So we don't think that memory and remembering things is important. But I don't know if that's actually true, because then whenever those supports are taken away, whether it's the pictures that you've taken or the, you know, not having your phone in your hand, can you remember that thing and tell yourself that truth later on? And you probably can't. One of the things that kind of brings this to mind is if you've ever been in like a Sunday service or a Wednesday night service and you're singing a song, and then if you don't have like a hymn book and you have the words up on the screen and those words go down, maybe they're wrong for some reason, or maybe they switch the song at the last minute. And so then you don't have the words up there and you're kind of like humming along. You don't really know the words. Maybe you're, you know, just kind of singing without, you know, the mumble jumble words. You know what I'm talking about. That is an example of how sometimes we think because we can see something, we have the image there, that we actually remember it, but really we don't. And I see this on Wednesday nights. We've just added worship to our like Wednesday night Bible study, which is great. And one of the things that I realized though, is a lot of the kids that are coming up that are a little bit younger than me, they haven't had worship on Wednesday nights. We used to do it back whenever I was a high schooler, but we haven't done it in several years. And so some of these songs that are like ingrained into my brain, I could sing them in my sleep because we've sang them so much. They don't know any of the words to them. And so we haven't been using a projector screen. Instead, we have like a, you know, song booklet. And as they're singing these songs, I think there's something to be said for you being able to remove the support and have those song lyrics memorized. Because later on, if you're trying to sing that thing and you have those song lyrics memorized, it almost becomes words that you can remember, you know, just like you can quote scripture or something like that. You can remember those songs whenever you are at home alone, or whenever you're singing with your kids, or you're singing in the car, or singing in the shower, you can remember those words everywhere. Just like with our hymns, we sing hymns at church, and we've sang some so much that I remember those things. And so I think images, they give us this kind of faux memory where we think we can remember all these things, but really we're not remembering it. And so because of that, we've lost the beauty of being able to pull on these things that we've memorized in those dark times. So again, if we get back to this idea of how we weather winter seasons, and as we think about weathering winter seasons, we focus on this idea of clinging to truth. We need to remember the truth to be able to cling to the truth. But we have this fake memory now where everybody thinks because they have it on their phones, or they have, you know, 15 Bibles in their house, and they have, you know, apps on their phones, or they have the Bible, you know, gateway or whatever app on website on their computer. Because of that, they don't need to remember anything about the actual story of God because they can rely on these supports so much. And because of that, whenever we weather those winter seasons, there is no truth to cling to because we don't actually have anything inside of us. We aren't really remembering anything ourselves. Instead, all of those memories, it's just fake. We don't have any sticking power to our goals. We don't have any cells to activate because we've never gone through the practice of storing up those things in ourselves. There's nothing to recall because we've never tried to memorize it. We've never tried to have that sticking power to our story. So as we think about this, we have to figure out, okay, what does this mean for us? What does it mean to retell our story? This is something that I've been talking about. This idea of a story, what am I talking about with that? Am I just talking about like memorizing a couple of Bible verses? Maybe like I was saying before, memorizing some hymns or some worship songs that you can sing, you know, whenever you're at the campfire or whatever at camp. Well, this is what I mean. Whenever we tell our past as a story, we're creating meaning from our past. And we're using it to kind of explain, you know, where we've came from, where we're going to. We're contextualizing our life in the greater kind of tapestry of humanity, right? And so we need to tell our story. Now, part of what this means is we have to tell our story based on what God is doing in our lives. So our story is not just, you know, you're who you're the son and daughter of, maybe where you live, maybe your friends growing up. Your story is also how God has worked in your life. And by retelling that story of when you first realized that there was a God, when you realized that God sent his son to save you, and then when you realized you were committed to him, and then how that decision has kind of played out in your life. When you tell that story, you are going through the process of having sticking power to the truths of your life so that when those winter seasons come, you aren't blown and tossed by the wind. Instead, you're holding fast to this truth of your life. Remembering helps you to navigate your new life experiences because you have become decided and definite, and kind of you are holding fast to who you are. And because of this, whenever you retell your story, and then let's say in the future you go through a new experience and that story kind of gets questioned. Somebody says, is there really a God? Or somebody says, I know you want to do the sin. Why didn't you do it? Then you say, well, no, I am holding fast to the person that I know I am because I have told my story and I know the way that God has interacted in my life. And I know that this is something that I'm not going to give up. By retelling your story, you're creating these boundaries where you say, I am not going to let this thing happen because I am holding fast to God. The Bible is written as a story, and stories are incredibly important. They're important, again, because of that's the way that God has told us. He didn't give us an instruction manual. He gave us a story that we can learn from him from. But stories can also be something that we look back on and we draw encouragement, not just from biblical stories, though, yeah, we get encouragement from those, but also from looking at the greats of the faith of the past. So looking at the stories of martyrs or great Christians who have done work for God, we look at their stories and we say, I want to be like that. I want to have faith like that. You might have this just from the stories of your own immediate family. Looking at my grandparents, both all my grandparents were people of faith. And because of that, I reap the benefits of that faith now myself. I think technology, you know, it gives us this lie that we can remember it all. But we have to pick and choose what is worthy of learning and what we are going to try to internalize ourselves, which is why I think it's so important to make sure that we are holding fast to the things that we need to know. So how do we stay with the God we love despite a heart that is prone to wander? How do we make sure that we are holding fast to God? Well, there are three things that I think you should do. First, you need to tell your story to yourself. So again, I have that workbook on A More Beautiful Life Collective Shop that goes through this. So it starts with, it is literally you writing out your story. So you could think of it kind of like an autobiography or like a memoir, but basically you're starting with, you know, the story of your parents, the story of your youth, the story of you coming to faith, and your story now, how you're being faithful in the midst of your life and how you hope to continue to do that. But I think by telling your story to yourself, it personalizes the way that God is working with you. And it also helps you to realize, like, this is why I believe in God. And this is why I'm going to continue to believe in God. I think we all have to answer this. And part of this is just, we are taking the faith of our parents, or maybe the faith of our friend group, or maybe the faith of the church that you've gone to. And you're saying, I'm holding fast to this faith and I'm making it my own. By telling your story, you're giving yourself ownership because you're saying, this is why I believe in God. So first, you need to tell your story to yourself. And then first, you must work in times of regular retelling of your story. You know, one of the things that I always love to see some churches, my church doesn't do this, which I wish we would, but some churches, what they would do is right before somebody got baptized, they would ask them, you know, hey, why are you getting baptized? And then they would video their story. And right before they got baptized, they would show that video at church and they would kind of say like, this is a person, this is their testimony, and this is what's happening. I think we miss that sometimes, especially if you are people who have always been in the church. And so everybody knows your story. Everybody knows who your parents are. They're probably friends with your parents before you were born. But I think we miss this where people don't really know why they've taken ownership of their faith. Having time to retell your testimony and say, this is why I am here and this is why I continue to be here. Not because my parents said this is the church I go to, not because this is something that I feel like I need to do just because I don't want people to look at me and judge me, but instead, this is why I'm here because I love God and I have been impacted by God in my life and I want to impact the kingdom for his glory. And so I think working in times of retelling, and that could be to, you know, as an evangelism kind of thing where you're meeting somebody at work or somebody that you see regularly, you know, homeschool co-ops or whatever, whatever groups that you're in. And you say, hey, this is my story. This is why I'm a Christian. I think that's important, but also retelling your story, even to your friends, because a lot of times I feel like we compartmentalize things. So we say, okay, my quiet time is for God. And then my friend time is to talk about that kind of stuff. And you never let those things mix, but retelling your story and how God is working in your life, even with your friend groups and things, can be important, even if they may know it. Sometimes it's important to have that sticking power, which means that you repeat the story to yourself. And third, we must continuously document God's faithfulness in our lives by constantly adding and revising our stories. So just like we have to regularly retell our stories to kind of activate those memories in our mind and recall them, we also need to continuously add to our stories. God and his work in our lives doesn't start at baptism or stop at baptism. Instead, it starts at baptism, right? So we see, you know, the seed is planted in us and we say, okay, we're going to be committed to God. And then after that, like after baptism, that is the start of us working for the good of his kingdom. That's the start of our ministry. We do so much work after we are baptized. And what that means is our story obviously does not end at baptism, which is, you know, those videos and stuff where you have their testimonies, like that is just the beginning. Then you have faithfulness over the course of all this ministry that you're doing. And so you want to add all of the stuff that happens after baptism to your story and retell that. So you need to be constantly revising and adding to that. So to review, as we think about our winter seasons, we want to cling to truth. And part of what we need to do is we need to remember our story. So the way that memory works is that forgetting is actually the process of learning. And it's important to forget things so that we can kind of sift through all the memories that we have and pick out the best. What we want to do is we want to have that sticking power for our story of God's faithfulness in our life. And we do this by, one, remembering his story in our lives and telling it to ourselves and then retelling it to ourselves and then editing and revising it. As we look at this, telling our story over and over again will give it sticking power and help us to remember it. And we'll also encourage and equip other people because they'll look at our story and they'll say, yes, I want to be faithful like this person. And this is what they did in their lives. So this is what a truth that I can take from that so that I can continue to be faithful as well. So today, as you think about your winter seasons, whether you're in a winter season right now, or maybe you'll go through one in the future, I think it's important for you to pause today and think about your personal story of God's faithfulness in your life. Again, you can look at that workbook if you want to do this more fully, but the first question you could ask yourself is just to think about how God is working in your life. So to start with baptism and you know, you being sure of your salvation. And then now, how are you working in ministry for the good of his kingdom? So I hope that you enjoyed this. If you wouldn't mind, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because this helps other people find the show. You can also share the show on Facebook or on social media, like Instagram. Comment on YouTube, like, subscribe. All of those things help other people to find the show. And again, stay tuned for some updates about our new project. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more as time goes on. So I hope you'll join me next week. Until then, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.